The orcs are such a pervasive threat throughout the galaxy that almost every imperial citizen knows of their tale. Even distant populations, so far flung into the galactic rim that they have never been blessed with the knowledge of Terra's existence, have their own dark tales of the orcs. Entire star sectors have been utterly ravaged by the green tide since before the Imperium even existed. And as we are to explore, they will likely remain as a rampant force long after the time of humanity has passed. The orcs only seem to desire one thing above all else, and that is war. They care not for the art of empire building. Politics provide them with no excitement, and diplomatic chicanery is a near impossibility for these brutes. Instead, a good fight is all they seek. Whether that be a simple brawl by the fire to pass some time, or a war of such epic proportions that it claims 100 worlds, it truly matters not to the greenskins, so long as there is a fight to take part in. Then they will be content. As a brief introduction, the grouping of Orcoid consists of several distinct species, namely the Orcs, the Gretchen, Snotlings, Squigs, and of the Orcoid fungi. All of these are connected by their baffling lack of intellect, and if one is to study an Orc, then a post-mortem examination may be preferable to any futile attempts of communication. Today we shall only be exploring the Orcs themselves, whereas the lesser subservient Orcoid species shall be focused on at a later date. To begin, we shall classify the Orcs and the Orcoid species in general. It is not so simple to call the Orcs as animals, as through our studies, we have determined the Orcs to be a curious yet perfect symbiote of both animal and fungal tissue. Each of these symbiotic components are so intertwined and come together in such a complex and all-encompassing way that they cannot be separated from one another. It would be impossible to remove the fungal component from an orc, just as it would be impossible to remove their animalistic side. One of the remarkable benefits of this symbiotic relationship is that the fungal components of an orc will allow the beast to withstand an incredible level of damage before finally being incapacitated. Whilst an orc body will contain complex organs, it appears that they do not entirely need them, and that the fungus can take over some of these biological requirements if those organs are sufficiently damaged. This can also explain why the mechanical implants given to the orcs by pain boys are so well received. If an inquisitive mech decided to replace an orc boy's torso with a mechanical frame, then it does not matter if they did not produce a mechanical heart or lungs, as the symbiotic fungi will take on these roles, allowing the boy to continue on into battle. The fungal side does not seem to influence their behaviors, though. Imperial orcologists have recorded and observed the orcs as following in a rather primitive and pack-based society. They form small tribes with one another, following in a distinct hierarchy of power, where the biggest orc acts as the war boss, who delegates power to the moderately large boys, known as nobs, and finally the rest of the smaller orcs will be subservient to their boss. This, combined with their propensity to hunt, fight, and live together in a pack, is incredibly reminiscent of the innumerable animal species encountered throughout the galaxy. From this, we can assume that the animal component of the orcs is what controls their behavior, whereas the fungal side is more so responsible for some of the anatomical and physiological features. Orcs will continue to grow for their entire lives, with the oldest and most successful of orcs dwarfing their smaller, runtier kin. One of the main reasons which may explain why the orcs have thrived to such an extent throughout the galaxy is not only thanks to their durability, but it is also due to their reproductive methods. Orcs will continuously release spores around them, which will nestle into the earth, before growing into other orcoid creatures. This can include squigs, which will be consumed for food and entertainment, snotlings, who will be enslaved to help carry out menial tasks around the camp, Gretchen, who will build settlements and generally act as enslaved workers, and then finally, orcs themselves. Thus, we can see that wherever the orcs travel to within the galaxy, that they will be able to grow not only food, but also fellow orcs and slaves to help fuel their warpath. This can help explain why it is so difficult to rid a planet from an orc incursion. Even if we have wiped out every orc from a battlefield, their innumerable spores will have surely spread out to every corner of the world, resulting in the orc life cycle beginning once again. It has often been noted that feral orc tribes have popped up years after an orc invasion was declared as destroyed, and it is simply because we cannot easily rid a world of these spores, resulting in the green menace being a near, ever-present threat to us. The first thing most people notice about the orcs is their colorful appearance. They are covered by a thick green skin which can shrug off even small arms fire before finally breaking. Beneath it, their blood is also green and upon examination has been shown to contain hundreds of distinct species of fungi, some of which release large levels of copper into the orc's circulation. One theory behind the green color is that many of the fungal cells found within both the skin and blood contain high levels of chlorophyll, which may suggest that the orcs have a limited ability to photosynthesize through these fungal elements. While this has never been proven, it would explain why some orcs have been observed as not needing to eat for long periods of time, as they would only need a source of sunlight to fuel their bodies. On average, most orc boys will stand around as tall as a human, although they would certainly tower over us if they could only straighten their backs. Their frame is incredibly broad, however, with their long muscular arms allowing the orc to drag his knuckles across the ground when he lopes around. Each of his gnarled fingers ends in a sharp, chipped nail, which can easily rip through the softer species of the galaxy. Beneath his heavy brow will be a set of deep, blood-red eyes, and further down his grim visage will be his gaping maw. An orc's mouth is filled with huge, jutting teeth sticking out from their heavy jaws, which can chomp through even the bones of a human. These teeth form the foundation of the orc economy, where large, valuable teeth are used as currency within the orc camps. If one encounters an orc and lives to tell of it, one of the most consistent reports is that they have an incredibly distinct and foul odor. One source has been quoted as saying that each orc he has come into contact with smelt like a diseased grox languishing in its own dung. As previously described, the orcs do possess organs, but they are incredibly crude when compared to those of other species. Their stomach is large and multi-chambered, allowing them to effectively digest a wide range of food types, although squigs are still their preferred source of nutrition. Much of their abdominal cavity is filled with a less definable organ. They possess an odd fungal soup which seems to take on the functions of a liver, kidney, spleen, and pancreas. The fact that this soup does not have a structure to be destroyed means that an orc can take several large shots to the body without this organ becoming damaged, which helps to explain why the orcs can seem so durable. The orc bones are incredibly strong when compared to those of other species. Their durability is in part because of their sheer density, but it is also due to the spongy fungal material which is found where we would normally expect bone marrow. This fungal network provides a powerful, supportive structure to their skeleton, and it also rapidly deploys to sites of fractures or breaks to repair the damaged bone. The orc nervous system is far more centralized than in that of other species. The majority of their body contains very little in the way of peripheral nerves, making them rather immune to pain, as they simply do not possess the ability to detect it. Their brain, however, is surprisingly well developed. It is lodged within their thick, protective skull and is almost entirely free from fungal growths. The largest portion of their brain is thought to be responsible for more base instincts, such as violence, which may help to explain their propensity towards war, since the majority of their brain is simply wired towards seeking it. Much of the rest of their body is simply made up of thick, sinewy muscle. Beneath this is a spongy fungal network, which seems to take on a similar role to visceral fat, in that it protects the limited orc organs from physical traumas. Altogether, this paints a rather stark image of the orcs as being incredibly durable and resilient creatures whose bodies have been clearly engineered and perfected towards that of the ultimate warrior. The leading theory as to how this bizarre species appeared within nature is that they were artificially created. Senior biologist adepts, in conjunction with inquisitors from the Ordos Xenos, speculate that the orcs are actually a descendant of the fabled Kroaks, a warrior species formed by the Old Ones during their wars against the ancient Catan and Necrontyr. These creatures were designed to be a biological weapon. They can rapidly form a supportive ecosystem within the surrounding environment, allowing them to proliferate and grow to vast numbers in an astonishingly short time span, with each new member being just as bloodthirsty and starved for war as the last. From what we have pieced together regarding the Kroaks, we can assume that the orcs have undergone somewhat of a devolution from their previous state. Whilst undoubtedly still fearsome, they are much smaller and weaker than their Kroak ancestors. The gruff, ugly, and violent orcs may be a revolting plague to us, but at least there is some consistency with them. We know how they think, we know that all they seek is war, and we know that to them, reality is but a simple contest to see who is the biggest and the baddest. No orc has ever doubted himself or doubted their place within the galaxy. Their unshakable belief in the war will always sustain them, and they will never give up on their primal instinct of plunging the galaxy into an eternal war.